Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Okay, starting at the top of file number 6, text number 24. Yadeva kila dvishtva sakshad tatshishyatam praptayar apishi madvacharya charanayar vaishnavamate pravishya vaishnavantaranam tatshishyantara punyaranyari vitika vyakya pravesha shankaya tatra tat paryantaram likad bir vartmopadesha krita iti satvata varnayanti. We're starting file 6. Yeah. Now, we were giving support to the authority of the Bhagavatam by mentioning all the devotees, all the commentaries were written. Then we discussed how Shankaracharya showed, in a special way, showed respect to the Bhagavatam without getting involved in writing a commentary on Bhagavatam. And now, further evidence. Translation. The revered Sri Madhvacharya, Krishna's devotees recount, was in the direct disciplic succession of Shankaracharya. Okay. That's what Jiva Goswami says, that he directly became Shankaracharya's disciple. I can't take it to mean that he took initiation from Shankaracharya. That's not historically possible. But let's say he was connected with the Mayavadis. You know, he's in the Brahma Sampradaya, but his gurus were practically Mayavadis. And I just presume that's what Jiva Goswami means by it. Okay, about Madhvacharya. After seeing Srimad Bhagavatam, however, he became an adherent of Vaishnava thought. Concerned that other Vaishnavas might be influenced by the commentaries of other followers of Shankara like Punyaranya, Sri Madhva wrote his own explanation of the Bhagavatam to show the correct way to understand its intended message. So, according to Jiva Goswami, it was after seeing the Bhagavatam that Madhvacharya got fired up to preach Vaishnava philosophy. Of course, if... Yeah, I'll get to you. Actually, can I wait? Because I'd rather hold off the questions until we finish the Anuchet. I'm sorry. If somebody, after just looking at the Bhagavatam, becomes enthused to preach all over the world, then he must have some prior connection with devotional service. You can't take an ordinary materialist or a hardcore Mayavadi and just open up the Bhagavatam in front of him and expect him to change in 1 minute. So obviously, Madhvacharya is already a Vaishnava. He's an eternalist, you know, servant of the Lord. But externally, in his pastimes, it was after, according to Jiva Goswami, I don't know if this is recorded in their Sampradaya's histories, but according to Jiva Goswami, it was after seeing the Bhagavatam that Madhvacharya became an adherent of Vaishnav thought. Concerned that other Vaishnavas might be influenced by the commentaries of other followers of Shankara like Punyaranya, Sri Madhva wrote his own explanation of the Bhagavatam to show the correct way to understand its intended message. The way this is written may not be acceptable to the Madhvites, but this is what Jiva Goswami wrote. And he continues. Okay. Looks like it's all he says about Madhvacharya right here. Then he switches the topic. Tasmad yuktam uktam tatraiva pratamaskande. Taridam grahayam asa suttam atmavatam varam sarva veda itihasanam saram saram samudritam Dwadashi. Sarva Vedanta Sadam Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadva Samvita Triptasya Nanyatrasya Dratikvachit. Thus the first canto of the Bhagavatam itself aptly states, Sri Vyasadeva delivered Srimad Bhagavatam to his son, the most respected among the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all the Vedic literatures and histories of the universe. And in the 12th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam has declared the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarian mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. Strong statement from the Bhagavatam itself. We've already accepted basically the authority of the Bhagavatam, so now we can quote from Bhagavatam. And the fact that Vyasadeva taught the Bhagavatam to Shukadev in particular, and not just to any disciple, is significant. Shukadev Goswami would not have been interested in studying Karmakanda section of the Vedas. He was beyond that. He was uninterested in everything material, but he was interested in Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's one very significant point to support the authority of the Bhagavatam. Tata Pratame, continuing into 24.3. Tata Pratame, Nigama Kalpa Toror Galitam Phalam, Shukamukhad Amrita Drava Sammutam, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam, Muhurda Holdrasika Bhuvi Bhavuka Ata Eva Tatraiva Yakswanu Bhavam Okila Shuti Saramekam Adhyatma Deepam Adititir Shitam Tamundam Samsarinam Karunayaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasa Sunum Upayami Gurum Muninam. Iti Sri Bhagavat Matam Tu Sarva Matanam Adisharupam Iti Suchakam. Again in the first canto, the statement, O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore this fruit has become even more tasteful. Although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. So references to Shukadeva Goswami. It's significant that he took the trouble to hear it, although he wouldn't listen to anything else. He didn't stay home to hear from Vyasadeva. He ran away from home. But he was brought back, having attracted him with some verses from the Bhagavatam, and he came back to study the Bhagavatam. And then, when he spoke the Bhagavatam after having heard it, it became even more tasteful. Just by repeating it without changing one word, he added to the value of the Bhagavatam. Then continuing, and in the same canto, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him, Shuka, the spiritual master of all sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who, out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggled to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. These statements imply that the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam reigns over all others, at least in the opinion of Shukadev. He didn't show any interest in studying other philosophies, but he did study the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. I wonder if we should use the word philosophy here for Muttam. Well, I guess it's okay. Mutta can mean thought. Okay. Anybody have the opinion that we should change the word philosophy to opinion? No? Okay. Any other suggested changes, mistakes in the translation or anything? Okay. Read the commentary. Srila Madhvacharya, whom the members of his sampradaya also call by his sannyas name Ananda Tirtha, revived the Brahma sampradaya in this age. By the time of his birth in the 13th century, the Brahma sampradaya had become virtually indistinguishable from Shankara's Mayavad school. Sri Madhva's predecessors held the sannyas title Tirtha, which Madhva accepted and passed on to his disciplic descendants. Technically, however, the name is one of the 10 assigned by Shankaracharya to the sannyasis of his Advaita Sampradaya, and is not included in the traditional list of 108 names meant for Vaishnava sannyasis. I don't know if this comes from Baladeva Vidyabhushan, but it's an argument that at least they were acting like Mayavadis, they were even using Mayavadi names, even though they're the Brahma Sampradaya. Madhva, considering the monistic viewpoint of his initiating guru and other teachers unacceptable, took upon himself the mission of reestablishing the true teachings of Bhagavad Dharma as originally inculcated by Brahma, Narada, and Vedavyas. Madhvacharya named his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam the Bhagavat Tatparya Nirnaya, signifying that his intention was to show the definite understanding of the Bhagavatam. In this work, and in all of his writings, Sri Madhva uncompromisingly opposed the Mayavadis, who confused the separate identities of the Supreme Person, the Jivas, and material nature. He especially wanted devotees of Lord Vishnu to avoid any conjecture that Srimad Bhagavatam could be aiming at an impersonal, formless conception of the Supreme. There are people who read the Bhagavatam and see Mayavad teachings in it. I've met such people. This is how distorted the Mayavad teachings can make your intelligence, that even after reading Bhagavatam, you're still convinced that the ultimate truth is impersonal, that everybody is God, and that there's no real distinction between the jiva and the paramatma. How can someone get that idea from reading Bhagavatam is difficult to understand, but when the Mayavads misinterpret it, people are bewildered, even in their understanding of the Bhagavatam. Okay, so Madhvacharya wrote a proper commentary on the Bhagavatam. Because Madhva and his followers were so staunch in their defiance of impersonalism, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose to formally affiliate himself with their sampradaya by becoming a disciple of Sri Ishwarapuri, who was a great grand disciple of the eminent Madhvite Acharya Vyastirtha. Thus, out of deep respect for the founder Acharya of the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, Srila Jiva Goswami here refers to him in the plural, Sri Madhvacharya Charanai. Instrumental plural. Srimad Bhagavatam contains only the choicest substance, sadam, carefully selected from all the Shrutis and Smritis. It embodies the essence of the mysteries of the Upanishads. It is the final perfect fruit of the gradual revelation of Vedic thought through the phases of worldly rituals, demigod worship, and impersonal meditation. It is the source of divine light for all those willing to accept it in the present age of darkness. Srila Vyasadeva chose one of his numerous disciples, his own son Shukadeva, to receive this Bhagavatam. Sukadeva is like a parrot, Shuka, not only because he repeated perfectly what he had heard, but also because Srimad Bhagavatam became all the more relishable after emanating from his mouth, just as a ripe fruit whose skin has been broken by a parrot's beak is sweeter, its pulp having become softer and more sugary. Sukadeva's meeting Parikshit and reciting to him the Bhagavatam was an act of sheer kindness to the unfortunate souls of Kali Yuga. The sages who assembled with Parikshit on the bank of Sri Ganga, and those who surrounded Suta and Shonaka at Naimisharanya, thus unanimously acknowledged Sukadev as their spiritual preceptor for the single feat of speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Guru Mididab, all the gurus, those who were there at the original speaking of the Bhagavatam at Hastinapur, and those who were later present at Naimisharanya, they all honor Sri Sukadeva Goswami. It's very rare to see a deity of Sukadeva worshipped. There is one at Shukatar, but this Mayavadi is established, and I don't think their worship is proper anyway. Normally, we honor Sukadeva Goswami by studying the Bhagavatam, and there's a few mantras that glorify him in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere. So we worship him by sound, not by formal deity worship. There's just no tradition, proper tradition of installing deities of Sukadeva Goswami. It doesn't mean we don't worship him. There's different ways to honor and to worship. And we worship our deity should be the Bhagavatam, and we worship Sukadeva through the Bhagavatam. Okay, that's text 24. Yes, Prabhu.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Okay, the first thing is that mentioned commentator Punya Aranya in line of Shankara who commented on Bhagavatam.
I guess so. Yeah. I haven't seen any trace of that commentary. But name is mentioned here.
Yeah. Oh, so is that the only known Mayavadi commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, or there are others? Maybe you have heard of.
Well, here it says plural, Punyaradi and so on.
And so on.
So Yuga Goswami thinks there's more than one.
Uh-huh. Have you come across some of those?
I don't know. This green volume with the many commentaries, I don't think it has any Mayavadi commentaries in it. Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen them. Maybe we should have them just for reference. We can look and see if we can dig some up. I've never in a bookstore. I've never had a chance to purchase or to see. Maybe we can look in the libraries in Vrindavan. If somebody wants to go to Akunda Nanda Maharaj's library, he's a Mayavadi. But he was a friend of Prabhupada, and he's got a big library. He's not around anymore, but his library is. And they let us in there. You can see if they have any Mayavadi commentaries on Bhagavatam there.
And another thing is, if you could remind, where those Sukadeva was attracted by Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing some particular pastimes and verses, where is it mentioned?
It's actually going to be discussed coming up, uh-huh. Maybe this file or the next. And I think Jiva Goswami cites the Brahma Vaivarta Purana for the description of what actually happened. The Brahma Vaivarta Purana doesn't say which verses were recited, but Baladeva Dibhushan in his commentary does suggest which verses it might have been. We'll get to that. Yes, ma'am.
Here we come across the term Bhavuka, and it's translated as expert and thoughtful. In the Bhagavatam proper translates it as expert and thoughtful.
Expert and thoughtful. Well, that's one meaning of Bhavuka.
Yeah. Because when Prakashananda Saraswati...
He's talking about a fanatic sentimentalist. or it can even mean crazy. Different meanings of the same word. And you could take that third verse of the Bhagavatam and interpret it either way, or any more than one way. You can take the word bhavuka, that those who are bhavukas and rasikas, they should drink the Bhagavatam fully. So there can be different proper interpretations of what bhavaka means in that verse of the Bhagavatam. It can just mean, the Prabhupada translates it soberly as thoughtful and expert and thoughtful. You could take it as emotional, ecstatic, or even, wildly emotional. The same word can be understood in these different ways.
Prakashananda Saraswati refers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, then it's a derogatory term.
Okay.
Yeah, that you're just sentimentalists. Because Prakashananda doesn't think that transcendentalists should be ecstatic. He doesn't want them to be emotional. Therefore, he's looking down on this emotional Vaishnav sannyasi. Hare Krishna. Yes.
It's interesting because Prabhupada, in the word for word of that verse from Adi Lila, he says in ecstasy, in bhavukeha with another ecstatic person. But in the word, but in the translation,
so he probably gave the other interpretation of the word for synonym.
Sentiments.
Yes.
But in the translation of
expert and thoughtful man,
he just says sentimentalist.
Where does he in translation? No.
Yeah. In the translation, he. Yeah.
No. Where is that? Oh, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada interprets it the other way when it comes up in the Bengali paraphrase. Aha. Uh-huh. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah.
Can you read the whole thing in Bengali? What's the translation?
No, this is different. Murkha sanyasi jiva dharme nahi jani bhavuka a iha pere Bhavu Kerasane. And this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an illiterate sannyasi and therefore does not know his real function. Guided only by his sentiments, he wanders about in the company of other sentimentalists. It's interesting that Prabhupada, in the word for word, he translates Bhavuka as in ecstasy.
Yes. Well, because that's. In the context of Prakashananda complaining about Lord Chaitanya, that's the way that makes sense. That's what what Prakashananda wants it to mean. Okay.
Shall we install some deities of Shukadeva Goswami and arrange proper worship to them besides worshiping him by reading Shukadeva
Goswami? I don't think so. Because There is no tradition of that. It would be unusual. So the traditional standard is to worship him by sound, especially by hearing the Bhagavatam. I'm not saying you can't. You can. I'm not saying it's a forbidden to install the deity of Shukadev, but it would be unusual.
For example, we install deities of Srila Prabhupada and so on.
Yes, but that was.
We don't only follow his instructions he gave us in his books.
But he didn't say install deities of all the acharyas. He gave a specific sanction his and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in Vrindavan, Prabhupada allowed, or maybe even asked for it, that his own and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's deities be installed. Prabhupada did the arati to the altar on which his own deity was there. So he certainly knew about it, and he probably, it was his request in the first place. That's specific. So, but we don't have any instruction from Prabhupada to install the deity of Shukadev. Text 25. Continuing on the topic of Shukadev and his connection with the Bhagavatam, Sarva Muni Nam Sabha Madhyam Adyasya upadeshtritvena tesham sarvamuninam gurutvam api tasya tatra suvyaktam yataha. Tatra means in the Bhagavatam. So here's a quote from the Bhagavatam about how all the sages accepted Shukadeva as their guru. From the first canto and last chapter, Tatropa Jagmur Bhuvanam Punada Mahanubhava. Wait a minute, is that the correct spelling? What's the verse number? Can someone tell me the verse number? 227, 228. Hold on a second. 119:8-12. Okay, I have to check. 119:8. Yeah, Punana doesn't have a cerebral end. Okay. All right, that's what I want to check. Totropa Jagmur Bhuvanam Punana Mahanu Bhava Munayaksa Shishyaha Prayena Tirta Bhikama Padishaikh Swayamhi Tirtani Punanti Santaha Atvir Vashishtas Chavanakshada Dwan Adishtanimi Brigurangirascha Parasharo Gadi Sato Tadama Utatra Indra Pramadidma Vahao Medha Tatir Devala Arshti Sheno Paradvajo Gautamat Pippalada Maitreya Auravak Kabashat Kumbayonir Dvaipayano Bhagavan Naradascha Anye Tadevarshi Brahmarshi Varya Rajarshi Varya Arunadayascha Nanarsheya Pravaram Stansametan Abhyarjaraja Shidasavavande Sukopavishtesh Vatateshu Bhuya Krita Pranama Swakritirshitam Yat Swachikirshitam Yat Vigyapayam Asa Vivikta Cheta Upastito Grani Grihita Panihi Ityadyanantaram. Following that passage, Tatascha Vipricyam Imam Vipriche Vishrabhya Vipra Iti Krityatayam Saratmana Briyamanaischa Krityam Shudam Chatatra Vishatabhi Yukta Iti Prichati Ragi Tatra Bhavad Bhagavad Vyasa Putro Yadritraya Gam Ottomano Napekshaha Alakshalingo Nijalabas Tushto Vitashchabalayar Avaduta Veshaha. It is well known that Shukadeva assumed the role of guru for all the sages, who placed him on the seat of instructor for their assembly. Thus it is said, at that time, all the great-minded thinkers, accompanied by their disciples, arrived there on the plea of making a pilgrim's journey. Simply by their presence, such sages verily sanctify a place of pilgrimage. From different parts of the universe, there arrived great sages like Atri, Vasishta, Chavana, and Sharadadwan, Arishtanemi, Brigu, and Angida, Parashara, Vishramitra, and Parashuram, and Utatya, Indrapramada, and Inmabahu. The great sage Medhatiti arrived, and Devala, and Arshtishena, Bharadwaj, Gotama, and Pipalada arrived, and Maitreya, Aurva, Kavasha, and Kumbayoni. Hold on a second, Kumbayoni. I think it's a mistake. Bharadwaja, the first syllable is short A in the verse. But there's an alternate reading that gives, I think, with the long A. BBT has what? Okay, I think we'll make it short here to match the verse that Dajiv Goswami, the way he quotes it. With the palatal test?
I don't know what's palatal
test. With accent over it.
Yeah.
Acute accent.
Yeah.
Okay, let's make Vashishta palatal. Any problem with that? Vashishta is going to be palatal and Varadvaj is going to be a short A in the beginning. Yeah, to match the verse as exactly as Jiva Goswami quotes it. And continuing, and Dvaipayana arrived, and the great sage Narada. And from different dynasties of sages, there were also many other saintly demigods, brahmanas, and kings, and a special rank of saintly kings called Arunadayas. When they all assembled to meet the emperor, Parikshit, he received them properly and bowed his head to the ground. After all the rishis and others had seated themselves comfortably, the king, humbly standing before them with joined palms, told them of his decision to fast until death. Then the king said, after some... other verses in between. O trustworthy brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and especially of those who are just about to die. Then, after the king's query, at that moment, there appeared the powerful son of Vyasadeva, who traveled over the earth, indifferent and satisfied within himself. He did not manifest any symptoms of belonging to any social order or status of life. He was surrounded by women and children and was dressed like an avaduta. He wasn't dressed at all. Okay, he was dressed like an avaduta, meaning naked. Okay.
By the directions.
Yes. Some Navadutas are naked, some aren't. But that's what Prabhupada translates as. No need to change that. 25.2. Tatascha pratyutitas te munayak swasane bhya ityadyante. Sasamritas. For those of you who have the text in front of you, those footnote numbers that are in square brackets, those are marking alternate readings in the footnotes. Sasamritas tatra mahan mahiyasam pramarshi rajarshi surarshi varyai vyarojatalam bhagavan yatendur Graharkshatara Nikaraik Paritaha Ityuktam. Those are alternate readings in the manuscripts and printed editions of the Sandarbhas. No, not the Bhagavatam. The Sandarbhas. We don't have a BVT Sandarbhas yet. Well, if there's any... Okay, in the footnotes, I indicate alternate readings that we know about, including if the BBT has a different version of any Bhagavatam quote, that's also in the footnotes. So you want to know what, if the BBC says something different, you have to look in the footnotes, like that 238. You look in the footnotes and it'll tell you something. Let me see what it says. 238 says the BBT has a different version. The BBT and manuscript number H. And there's going to be in the introduction a list of what these initials mean, which manuscripts and printed books these are. So Brahmarshi, Varjarshi, Devarshi Sangai is the BBT version, and it's also in one manuscript. Sangha instead of Aryai. Well, Suarshi. And there's two other versions, one in manuscript D and another one in manuscript G. See, there's three different readings. So we have four different readings. One of the ones that Jiva Goswami has that we've printed, and then three other versions in three other editions, three other versions of the Tathasandarbha, plus the BBT is different. And it doesn't change the meaning at all, even though the words are slightly different. All right, so if you want to study that, you have to look at the footnotes. When we print the book, the footnotes will be at the bottom of each page. You can see it like that if you go into page, into print, what's it called? Print layout view, and it will show you with footnotes on the bottom of the page. Okay, anyway, translation of that. Then the sages all rose from their seats to honor him. And finally, Shukadeva Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous, and he was respected by all. Virochita alam. How are you going to translate that? So Prabhupada did it very nicely. He said his presence was gorgeous. How would you translate that? He was shining? No, better to say he was gorgeous. Looked gorgeous. Commentary. Shukadeva Goswami had no material credentials. He had not even taken brahminical initiation. Still, all the sages who came to witness the passing away of King Parikshit deferred to his authority without question. Three categories of rishis came to the bank of the Ganga outside of Hastinapur, Parikshit's capital, to be with him while he fasted and waited for death. Narada represented the demigods. Vyasadeva led the many elevated brahmanas. And a number of kings who were saintly like Parikshit also came to listen. Though all these sages were expert enough to instruct Parikshit, they had all arrived for the specific purpose of hearing Shukadeva speak Srimad Bhagavatam. They must have had good hearing also, because unless you were sitting in the front rows, there was no microphone. You know, so you had to, if you were sitting in the back, you had to listen real carefully. Even in the company of their disciples, they were glad to take the humble role of Shukadeva's audience. Parikshit was already fully God-conscious, but he and everyone else present in the assembly were concerned for the welfare of the future inhabitants of this deluded world. Parikshit Maharaj first offered his sincere respects to all the sages together. Addressing them as vipras, learned brahmanas, he asked any or all of them to inform him what he should do now that he was about to face death. What do you do when 25 of the most prominent sages of the universe come to visit you? Who do you address your questions to? What's the etiquette and the protocol? So he just bypassed that by asking them all together. In the presence of so many great authorities, including Narada and Vyas, a cultured Vaishnava like Parikshit could not avoid asking their advice. But almost everyone present was aware by mystic insight that Shukadeva Goswami would answer the king's questions. And indeed, at that very moment, Shukadeva arrived, appeared, unannounced. As soon as they saw Shukadeva, they all recognized him and at once stood up from their seats. And without any deliberation, they offered him the speaker's chair. So there's no recording that anybody made any suggestions, that anybody said anything before Shukadeva arrived. Although we did a play for Prabhupada in Mayapur in 1975. And Dravida Prabhu was Shukadeva Goswami and a devotee called... No. Dravida Prabhu was Parikshit. And a devotee called Nandakishore was Shukadeva Goswami. And I also had one small part. I was one of these sages. And when my I had one line, you know, Shukadev. And I that day, the day of the last rehearsal, and that night we were going to do the play in front of Prabhupada and all the devotees, I lost my glasses in Prabhupada's poker, and I never found them again. I was without glasses. I couldn't see anything. So I had the one line to answer Pariksit's question, what should I do at the time of death? And I spoke up and said, well, I think it would be good for you to practice the Eightfold, you know, yoga meditation system. That would be a good idea. Some line like that. And I practiced it all day to get it right. And I tried to say it real seriously. And I said the line, you know, and then my service was done with. And then Prabhupada laughed. And then 1 second later, all the sannyasis sitting in the front laughed. And everybody laughed. So that was my dramatic career. That was it, one line. But it doesn't say in the Bhagavatam that anybody actually made a suggestion. Just Shukadev arrived at that moment. Shukadev, who had come there of his own accord, had no motive for profit or reputation in speaking to Pariksit in front of the sages. Pariksit also came there freely without material purpose, as did the rest of the audience. Certainly, if you were a newcomer, a young man, and you had to speak in front of all the most eminent Vaishnavas in the world, you would be self-conscious. Either you'd be very nervous and embarrassed, or else you'd be calculating how much, you know, you could advance your reputation by speaking. But Shukadev was beyond all that. He wasn't scared, and he wasn't ambitious either. He was just interested in speaking the Bhagavatam. Pariksit also came there freely without material purpose, as did the rest of the audience. This is the best attitude with which to approach Srimad Bhagavatam. The speaker should be as much as possible of the standard of Shukadeva Goswami, and the hearer should be as renounced and surrendered as Pariksit and the great sages. All these big boardings across the street, we should rent one of them and put these two sentences on it. Any questions? Comments? Yes. I wonder how much it costs to rent one of those for a week.
I was just wondering something about in the previous annotator there was that, what was it? Iti Pritchati Ragi.
Iti, in the previous, where exactly?
At the end of the previous annotator.
Annotator 24.
Yeah.
Iti. And what do you have?
Iti Pritchati Ragi.
Oh, Iti Pritchati. That's in 55. Iti Pritchati Ragi. He has a problem there?
I don't know. It seems like literally, like, while the king was inquiring, like in the middle of his inquiry, suddenly Sukadev.
And what did I take it to mean? Then after the king's query, so I took it to be passed.
Right.
I think we can take it as, even though it's present tense, the present tense locative absolute.
Right.
I think we can take it to indicate immediate future. Immediate past, rather.
Right.
Because he didn't ask anything else after that.
Because, I was thinking that when you have that locative absolute, then it's something, while one action's happening, another action happens. Like, so while he was asking, then Sukadev arrived.
That is definition of?
Locative absolute.
Of
locative absolute.
Yeah, but if you use a past participle, then it can be considered past, right?
Yeah, like, so while he was asking, so then...
No, but it can mean after he asked. Does it have to be while the activity, the first activity is still going on?
That's the definition, yeah.
But is it really used like that? All the time?
Yeah.
Well, if that means that Shukadev walked in the middle of the verse while he was still asking it? Because he didn't ask. These two verses are right after one another, I think. There's no other verses in between, right? So, according to Bhagavatam, he didn't ask anything else. He's not still asking. Once he gets to the end of the verse, he's done asking.
Right.
But you think Shukadev walked in the middle of the verse?
Yeah, like as he was asking, it seemed like he walked in.
Could be. Okay, let me make a note of that. I wonder what, but I think the way that locative absolute is actually used, at least with past participles, is that the first action can be finished.
Okay.
But, I'm normal to use the present for that, but that's...
Well, it's a present participle here, and the definition of locative absolute is that while one activity is going on, another activity is going on at the same time. One, you know... In the sutra.
Okay, let me make a comment. Definition. Uh-huh. Oh, I lost it. I'm sorry. Anyway, we're done. We're not going to continue any further, but let me just write this down before we quit, and before we deal with other comments. Let me make... I have to get this right, though. Hold on a second. Should be while he was asking. Okay. I'm leaving that for further consideration. Okay. All right. Yes.
Does it mean that Shukadeva Goswami didn't give any chance to all sages to answer the question of Maharaja Parikshit? I remember in one place, I don't know exactly, Srila Prabhupada tells that all the sages, they gave actually answers, but the opinions differ, and because of that, Maharaja Parikshit couldn't come to.
So, Prabhupada says that the sages did give some opinions.
I don't remember exactly when, but I remember reading this.
Well, that would make it a little more complicated, because then Parikshit finished his question and he got some answers.
Yeah.
That means he must have finished his question. Can we research this? Could somebody look into this? Maybe the two of you.
I can try.
Because this makes a difference for this question about whether the action has to be passed. So see where Prabhupada says you may have two different statements here. Maybe you can find both of them.
Maybe see in the commentary of those verses.
Whoever wrote the script to the play wasn't making it up out of nowhere. Got it from Prabhupada. Okay, anything else? We stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Tattva Sandarbha Ki Jai.